Think air quality, and you're likely to consider outdoor air, full of diesel fumes and smoke and dust. But most of us spend 90% of our time inside. Now, groundbreaking research by a team from Harvard, Syracuse University, and SUNY Upstate finds that dramatically improving indoor air quality can more than double the reasoning scores of workers. Chemicals found in paints, furniture, and flooring, so-called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, are the main problems. And common office concentrations of carbon dioxide also modestly reduce cognitive functioning. The lead author of the study, published in Environmental Health Perspectives, is Joe Allen of Harvard Center for Global Health and the Environment. Welcome to Living on Earth, Professor Allen.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
Your study looks at the impact of indoor air quality on cognitive functioning. So tell me about the study. How did you do this?
We set up in the Syracuse Center of Excellence, and they have a simulated office environment. And we enrolled, we called knowledge workers, people who work in office environments. We enrolled them to come to the Syracuse Center of Excellence and do their normal work routine in this office. From the floor below, we were able to manipulate the indoor environmental conditions in their workspace, unbeknownst to them. At the end of each day, we administer a cognitive performance test. And the analysts are also blinded to the conditions we're testing that day. So in that way, it's a double-blinded study. It's a controlled environment. And we're able to manipulate one variable at a time to tease out the effect of that variable on cognitive performance scores of the people in that space.
Now, how did you measure the cognitive impacts?
So we measure cognitive performance with a great tool called the Simulated Management Strategy Tool. And it's a neat tool because it tests real-world decision-making performance. And I think it's best if I give you an example. So in one of the scenarios, the participants are asked to play a game, and they are essentially the mayor of a city. And in that role, they are prompted with things that happen throughout the day, and they have to respond to these prompts throughout the day. And they have access to a wide range of information. And we watch how they plan, strategize, and what decisions they ultimately make in response to the information coming at them. It's really similar to how we all operate every day. You're sitting at your desk. You have access to unlimited information with the internet. Your phone rings. You have text messages coming in. You're answering emails. The boss comes in. A crisis happens. And we want to simulate this with this tool to test how people respond under this real-world scenario of dealing with information, figuring out how they use information. Are they optimized? How do they do in a crisis? And importantly, how do you recover after a crisis? Are you done for the day, or do you go back to your nice strategic planning and taking actions based on the prompts that are coming in?
So what did you find? How did people perform on these cognitive tests based on their exposure to changes in air quality?
Yeah, we found some quite striking results. We found a doubling of cognitive performance scores for people who spent time in the optimized green building environment compared to those same people when they were in a conventional office building, an indoor environment designed to simulate a conventional office building. And three cognitive function domains in particular had the strongest scores. These were crisis response, strategy, and information usage. And these three cognitive function domains are most closely tied to productivity.
Those numbers are huge. That's a big disparity. How surprised were you by those findings?
To be quite honest, we were shocked. We think this is a big deal. The findings are strong. The magnitude of effect is quite large. And the really nice thing about the study is that we weren't testing anything exotic, right? We didn't introduce chemicals into the environment that you don't typically encounter. We didn't introduce ventilation rates that are impossible to obtain. The idea was to simulate office environments that can easily be obtained. So these are chemicals we're commonly exposed to. These are outdoor ventilation rates we can obtain in most buildings. So this is what's shocking, is that you see this big effect. The magnitude is big, and the effort it takes to reach that wasn't that much.
Joe, how does all this indoor air pollution affect us physiologically? How do you get from the chemical to cognitive impairment?
Well, this is a great question, and it's currently unknown. So there's no answer right now, but we hope, and we know there are people working on this, and we're starting to work on it too, is the next question is the why is this happening, or how is it happening? So physiologically, mechanistically, what's happening that's causing this decrement, or in some cases, the improvements in cognitive performance functioning? So we think that in the next 6 to 12 months, you'll start seeing a lot of researchers attacking that question.
So let's be specific about these chemicals. What's the impact of the volatile organic compounds, the VOCs?
So VOCs, I mean, we're exposed to VOCs every day in just about every environment we're in. And we know they cause things like eye irritation or upper respiratory irritation. Some of them are carcinogens. So we know that these compounds can be irritants. And now we're learning that they can also impact cognitive function.
Now, what about carbon dioxide?
Yeah, this is very interesting. So in the second part of our study, we looked at the impact of carbon dioxide on cognitive function independent of ventilation. Outdoor carbon dioxide concentrations are typically around 400 parts per million right now. Indoors, we routinely see carbon dioxide between 800 and 1200 parts per million. But it's not uncommon to see carbon dioxide as high as 1500 parts per million or even up to 3000 parts per million. So what we found in our study is that when people were in an environment with low carbon dioxide concentrations and they were moved to a level of about 950 parts per million, the level we find in most indoor spaces, we see a 15% decrease in cognitive performance scores for the people in that space. And when they moved to an environment with 1400 parts per million, we saw 50% lower cognitive performance scores when they were in that environment.
So a huge impact.
Yeah, very big. I mean, this is new for our field. Carbon dioxide, we measure it all the time when we're doing studies of buildings and health because it's a good indicator of how well the space is ventilated. But now we're starting to see that maybe carbon dioxide isn't just this useful tool as a proxy for ventilation and other things that are building up in the environment. It might actually be a direct pollutant, a primary pollutant.
So you say that there's this decrease in cognitive functioning when you have poor air quality or even conventional office air quality compared to greener air quality. How do you translate that into dollars and cents, let's say, for a company looking at its workers?
Yeah, I'll tell you about our next paper that we've published that should be out in the next month or two, because we thought this was a really important question to ask, is how can we take the data we have now on cognitive performance and turn it into dollars? Because we know that research informs practice, and what a lot of these practitioners want to hear is, how is it going to impact my bottom line? So we looked at the energy penalty or the energy cost for increasing outdoor air ventilation to the levels we did in this study where we found a benefit to cognitive performance. And we find that it's on the order of $30 per person per year to double your outdoor air ventilation rate. Then we used the same information from our study and looked at the cognitive performance improvements normalized to what we find in the general population, and we estimate that the benefits to productivity are on the order of $6,000 per person per year.
So what do you hope comes out of the study?
We designed this study specifically to look at what building factors could be improved that would lead to benefits to cognitive performance of people in that space. And there's a positive story here, is that there are things we can do right now in most spaces that will reduce the chemical concentration that we're exposed to and increase the amount of outdoor air coming in. And we think this will lead to better cognitive performance based on the results of this study.
You know, when you do a home energy audit, they come and they do this pressure test to see how much leakage you have. And the less leakage you have, the more efficient the home is. To what extent is this a zero-sum game? If you improve indoor air quality, you have less energy efficiency.
Yeah, Steve, I think it's a false choice we've been given over the past 30 years, where there has been a trade-off traditionally between energy efficiency and human health. And that can't be the way we move forward. And we know that you can make decisions now on how buildings are designed and how your ventilation system's performing, and the choices in the products you make can be used to optimize indoor environmental quality while optimizing energy performance and cost.
Joe Allen is an assistant professor of exposure assessment science at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For an industrial perspective on the implications of this Harvard-led research, we turn now to John Mandyke, Chief Sustainability Officer for the United Technologies Corporation. UTC is the world's largest provider of building technologies and the key underwriter of the study, but was not involved in the data collection, analysis, interpretation, or drafting of the peer-reviewed paper. John Mandyke says these findings may revolutionize the way we think about buildings.
The study that Harvard and its research partners has done has the potential to change everything for how we think about buildings. We have to have the laboratory basis of the analysis to set the baseline. Now with that baseline, which is a very, very strong baseline in the correlation of green buildings and cognitive impact, We're now going to test that baseline in 10 buildings around the country.
How might this change everything, to use your words?
I think this can change everything because better thinking and better buildings means buildings can become competitive assets for companies. It's a way that companies can differentiate themselves to get a competitive advantage. Think about this. The research that Harvard and its study partners have found is that with optimized indoor environmental quality, test scores over 9 cognitive domains doubled. That really means better thinking and better buildings. And I think what's most important here is that productivity often comes with a learning curve. In this case, all people have to do is breathe because the intelligence is in the air. With the optimal and readily achievable conditions that Harvard and its study partners found in this research.
Now, for years, people sold building energy efficiency on the basis of payback because you could see the math. You put in so much insulation, you save so much in terms of using fossil fuel, and you could see the money going right to the bottom line. How does this study, how does this research help you sell better air quality with a measurable payback?
Well, the basis for the research is to accelerate the green building movement overall. As you pointed out, energy has been a very important value mechanism in ways that we approach green buildings. That if we build green buildings, they save energy, they save water, and you receive a natural payback from that. We've done very well with that type of analysis. Last year, the green building market for the commercial sector in the United States reached about 47%. So we've come very, very far. But the interesting thing here, if you look at the true cost of operating a building, just 1% is energy. 90% of the true operating cost of a building are the salaries and the benefits of the people inside the building. Green buildings can improve thinking, can improve productivity, can improve health. Buildings can become human resource tools now. Buildings can become ways that we can find competitive advantages simply by optimizing the indoor environmental quality.
John Mandyke is the Chief Sustainability Officer of United Technologies. And by the way, UTC is also a supporter of Living on Earth. There are more details at our website, loe.org.